Hi and welcome to the Travel Hero podcast by ITB. Are you ready to reveal some superpowers of the great minds of the tourism industry?
First of all, let me introduce myself. I'm Rika Jean-Francois and I work for ITB. And I'm responsible since, well, I'm 15 years now. I built up the corporate social responsibility in tourism. That means I'm, since many years, trying to make people realize that if we want to have tourism, it needs to be sustainable. But as the mainstream tourism mainly gathers at ITB, you can imagine that this is a big task because nobody would listen in the beginning. So, but my job is to be the social consciousness of ITB. And I travel a lot talking about that and hopefully raising some awareness because this is what we want to do. But I have some other people here who are also fighting, each of them, at their own position. I have here to my left, I have Susana Cerón Baumann, who is half Spanish, half German, but lives in Berlin, and is working for Ventura, which is a small tour operator, doing the right thing. And this tour operator is also part of the Forum Andersreisen, which is a connection of good doing tour operators, in a way. And I have to look for your name because we hadn't met before, Michaela Thurau from Atmosphere. ITB works with Atmosphere since many, many years. We all do compensate and offset our flights, which we do as ITB team. And I have some team members here from ITB. Yeah. And so we work with Atmosphere, and we really appreciate the work Atmosphere is doing. And we also have Christian Tänzer, who is there an L? Yeah, to put on the one. Tänzler. I thought you were a dancer. Sorry. Christian Tänzer from Visit Berlin. And this is our city, and Visit Berlin plays an important role as a tourism destination and also plays an important role in finding solutions. And that is why we also invited Christian. So, yeah, welcome, everybody. I already started to talk a little bit about the issues which are happening, and because that we've been talking about the necessity to include sustainable thinking into tourism since many, many years. Before myself, there were other people who were really doing a great job. They were the pioneers, but nobody really listened to them. So it needed climate change actually to become obvious. And with more and more extreme weather conditions happening, that people said, okay, we have to do something. And it needed a new generation, the generation of Greta, who actually stood up and said, it's our future. And this Friday for Future movement finally shaked up everybody, also in our industry. But this is, I think it's ridiculous that it's so late, but it's a new generation who is obviously also more political than the generation before, or some of the people of the generations before. I think it's not, what is very important, what I said also in the beginning, is it's not an issue which is only relevant for our industry, the tourism industry, but it's so relevant for all the industries, and we need to work together with all nations, because otherwise it is already too late. Because only with strong intersectional cooperation, there is a slight chance to save the planet. And according to Professor Schellnhuber, whom you all know from the Potsdam Climate Institute, it's only 19% option that the planet can be saved. So it's serious. It's not a joke. We still keep on talking about it as a joke. There was the BTV meeting in the Adlon last week, and everybody was in the beginning. I wasn't there, but my friends told me everybody was in the beginning very, now we talk about the future of tourism, until Professor Schellnhuber came. And he actually said that the situation right now is like jumping from the Empire State Building, and the moment you pass from the second floor, you think, well, everything went well already, still went well. So you said it's still fine. But yeah, it will go down. So we have to find a solution. And he was really shaking everybody up, and I really liked this, it very much. So I think that we have a lot of things which we want to talk about. The question whether flying should be stopped, whether there are other options, you know, whether it's a subject of losing what we have achieved, because everybody also talks about this democratization of traveling. Is it a solution to make the tickets so expensive that, on the other hand, people who don't have a bigger income can't travel anymore? Or would it be a solution to have EasyJet flights where everybody's packed, it's like a bus flying through the air, you don't have to carry heavy weight, and maybe with an alternative fuel? So these are the questions which I think maybe we can find, we can come a little closer to solutions. So that is why I first want to address you, actually, to ask you about your picture of the travel of tomorrow, especially if it comes to air travel.
So, atmosphere, and I don't know if everybody knows us, maybe just two sentences about us.
We are an offsetting provider, a non-profit organization. That means we are fighting against climate change by developing and managing carbon mitigation projects in the global south. So it's all together that we are bringing, or let's say, rolling out their renewable energies and energy efficiency, and this is connected also with sustainable development. That means we are really going far away are not concentrating only to save emissions. So we are also very interested to help people, to help the people there. So, and if we think about air traffic of tomorrow, it's not as easy, because if you look at the figures, you know, what the forecast is, how air traffic is increasing. So there is has been published last week, or I think even this week, at the UBA, Umweltbundesamt, what's the environmental
ministry.
Yeah, ministry or institution. So the forecast is that until 2050, air traffic will be four times more than it is today. Why is it, if we talk about flight, flygskam, is it, I think, in Swedish?
Yeah.
So flight shaming, and even though we might change our behavior, and even though, I don't know, we are paying a lot of money for a flight because we are increasing or not increasing, we are internalizing the external environmental cost. That might be the fact, but in the same time, a lot of people who have seen, of course, a flight, but who have never entered a plane yet, it's actually 9 of 10 people worldwide have never been in a plane. So, and since or until 2050, of course, they also want to fly and they also want to travel. So that's why I think we really need, and we have to invest, or the travel industry has to invest a lot of money in new technology. So I think this will be a solution. And in the same time, of course, we need to find some new solution to decrease, of course, also air traffic and to change behavior. And if you're saying like it's not an individual decision, I am not sure, because I think for us or for young people, even if they're studying, I don't know, sustainable tourism, you know, this is just my experience, for them it's normal to fly, I don't know, 10 times per year, just, I don't know, for a weekend somewhere. And it hasn't been happen, I don't know, 10 years ago. It's just, or 15 years ago. It's now normal, but
it's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. It's a question of lifestyle. And why should it always be like this? Maybe we can change it again. I don't know.
Would it be an option to price carbon emission, to include it in the price?
Of course. So I think really, and I think this is already what the German government has been already announced, and I think it should be also, we should search for European solution to include it in the price, and even better, to find a way to organize it on a worldwide level, just to make it fair and not to have different... to have and not to have different competition issues. And I think the air traffic industry is well connected through IATA to ICAO, and I mean the airline industry is already so well connected and has worked together for so many years. I mean, the airline industry has had already the internet when we didn't even know that internet already exists, right? Mm. So, and that's why I also wonder a little bit why they didn't find already solutions, since they're already working so long together. Mm. And originally, I have been working for the airline industry for many, many years before I went to Atmosphere for this non-profit organization. And since I'm working now for Atmosphere, it has been opened my eyes for other industries. And I was a little bit shocked, to be honest, that so many industries have already a plan and have found some solutions. It's not it's not ready yet, but at least they're working on it. And you see the light at the end of this tunnel, but I don't see it.
Yeah, but as long as they could make benefit without being asked to do it, it hasn't been taken out.
Yeah.
But tell me, there, like Lufthansa, for instance, you know, because there's been a big discussion going on now. So Lufthansa has already declared that they want to do a great job, that they also want to offset. You can offset on the Lufthansa side and so on. And I think it's the right thing to do. But on the other hand, why do the numbers which Lufthansa gives us are not really corresponding with what Atmosphere tells us? Is there a difference of how you can calculate the
most
carbon emission?
Yeah, of course. Most of the airline are calculating the airline the flight emissions just by the CO2 emissions. So they're just concentrating on the CO2 emissions. So they do not include the whole climate impact and effect. So they're excluding the greenhouse gas effect. Since when you're flying, since you're flying in a height of 9,000 meters, of course, then it also takes into account that by flying your causes cirrus clouds and contrails and particle suits, and all those non-CO2 emissions have a greenhouse gas effect. So, and this is between 2 to 5 times higher than only the carbon emissions. So, and that's why, you know, you can see a different
And this is
emissions.
why Atmosphere and My Climate and the Sirius offset to really make a difference.
Yeah.
Because I think there are now how many new offsetting companies which suddenly came up?
Yeah, since I don't know the exact figure, but of course Friday for Futures and the Greater Effect. So there are a lot of new.
But Atmosphere, and this is why I'm proud that we work with companies like Atmosphere and Climate, My Climate and so on, is that they also take a stand. For instance, I just heard you decided that you will not offset any
short distance flights
plus any cruises anymore. And I think this is a very big step. Can you tell us more about this decision? Because I think it was not an easy decision.
No, it was not an easy decision. Yeah, of course, as an offsetting provider, a lot of press and critical contact us on saying, like, okay, what are you doing there? This is just, you know, you want to make it easy for frequent flyer. You know, you're not helping seriously to fight against climate change, because you know you're just taking money and bring it to other countries, but of course offsetting doesn't help the climate. So, and I must say this is actually true. We also commit and say offsetting is always the second best solution. So the first solution is avoiding and reducing. Every flight you haven't done is better than a compensated flight. This is for sure. And for short distances, we think we shouldn't do it too easy to the people. So if there are better alternatives, we don't want them to offset their flight. This is not credible. So, and since our approach is first avoid, then reduce, and only if it's unavoidable, then you're allowed to compensate. So that's why we just consequently said, okay, until now this year, we decided that all short distance flights are not, you cannot offset anymore with us. No,
but there's also a change in the, I think that's...
Thank you.
A change in consumer behavior, which is very important.
Yeah, this
and
is
people have been offsetting. I heard there's a tremendous rise in offsetting in general since Greta, actually.
Yeah.
So how many of you have are offsetting? Are you offsetting?
I'm not looking.
No, but we can discuss later whether you think it's a good idea, because we don't have too much time. You could also explain what great things are really happening with the money and for which things they were really, this money is used, yeah, for which projects the money is used. But to come back to the consumer now, Susanna, you need consumers to do your business. You need
Absolutely.
People to travel. So what would you say if somebody comes or writes an email to Aventura and says, I want to do a sustainable trip, but I want to go to Costa Rica, because Costa Rica is one of the most responsible countries, sustainable tourism. They want to cut down their CO2 emission. So I want to go to Costa Rica as a traveler who is quite conscious. So what do you tell them?
Book with our brand Pura Ventura. Yeah, first of all, from my side also a warm welcome. Thank you everyone for coming. It shows the interest in the topic. As Rita already mentioned, thanks to Greta, we are all more aware. So thank you each and every one of you of being here. And going back to your question, maybe I have to explain, I'm here in a double function, because you have maybe read the program and there was my name with Forum Andersreisen. As Rita mentioned as well, Forum Andersreisen e.V. is an association here in Germany where only the good tour operators are members. So if you would like to travel the good way, have a look at the website of Forum Andersreisen, check the members, and we have tour operators for all destinations. Okay, and my other function is, and this was Rika's question right now, I work for Ventura Travel. This is a brand for sustainable travel brands, and we only do sustainable trips. And we also compensate for our clients because our boss said, hey, I'm a little bit tired of passing this responsibility over to the clients, because normally maybe you know it when you book somewhere and then the operators tell you, yeah, and please don't forget to compensate, and then they send you the link of Atmosphere, mainly hopefully, and then you can decide yourself if you compensate or not. And I think the percentage is very, very low. That's why we are one of the operators who said, okay, stop that. It's our responsibility and we do this. Coming back to your question, Rika, so if someone wants to travel to Costa Rica, for example, of course you can do it with us. We are an operator which has also the criteria of Forum Andersreisen in mind, because we create our trips depending on these criteria. You can have a look at these criteria also on the website of Forum Andersreisen. Have a look. And Rika, it's a very complex topic. So to explain a sustainable tourism product, it's not only that you compensate the flight, it's not only that you go there for at least for a month, let's say. Sustainability in tourism
also covers the three fields. It's economy, ecology, and so the social aspects. Yeah. So you also have to check, are the partners in Costa Rica, does my incoming agency in Costa Rica, does all the employees have a contract? Yeah. Do they get a good salary? Yeah. Does the offices that I work with, do they recycle? Yeah. Do they use, recycled paper, for example? So it's really super complex. But to make it very short, we can definitely help this person. But we have a few conditions. He has to stay at least 2 weeks in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if someone comes up to us and says, yeah, I want to fly for a week to Costa Rica, then we say, I'm very, very sorry, but we're not the right for you. Have a look at someone else. Or maybe go for 2 weeks, then we can help you. But it's super complex, so it's not easy to answer what is a sustainable product. But you can, if you want to have, like, I can give you 5 tips, yeah, to see if the tour operator that you work with is sustainable or not. And I'm brainstorming right now. I have not prepared it. It's, first of all, you should check, go on the website and check their philosophy, their mission, their vision and their core values. Do you see something concerning sustainability in your core values, for example? Then it's good. Yeah. The second thing, if you do long distance trips, the example of Costa Rica, for example, if you see that this operator offers you one trip, for example, to all these long-haul flight destinations, then it's not a sustainable tour operator, or it depends on the conditions. Yeah, you also have to check that. Then travel in small groups, because we know if we travel in big groups, we have a huge impact on communities. It's waste that we consume. It's much better if you do it with not so many participants, let's say. Yeah, that's it. And then another thing, of course, what you can check is the CO2 compensation. But it's still not very common that everyone here in Germany compensates. So, but if you want to be on the safe side, this can also be one aspect. And last but not least, you should definitely check the destinations where you go. And this depends on you. And I think this is what also Rika said at the beginning. We all have to be more critical in our thinking. Yeah, and we should really think, should I have to do this trip, or maybe can I avoid it? Can I do a web seminar, a web call, or whatever today? I mean, we live in 4.0, so that there are a lot of possibilities as well.
Yeah, but I also like the fact that when we talk about a sustainable tour operator who's following these criteria, which have been developed by very intelligent organizations, also like GSCC, which is the Global Tourism Criteria for Sustainability and Social, which also take into account the social aspects of where you travel to. And this is the right thing to do, but this brings me to the point that traveling is not only producing negative carbon impact, it's also about the good things of travel. And we don't have to forget that travel is the best thing against bigotry. If you travel, your mind opens, and this is also, a lot of people say this is like something we got because of this kind of civilization we have reached. But the way travel has developed in a profit-orientated capitalistic world is not the way people used to travel. And so I think we have to rethink travel. We have to think, how can we really experience something? How can we help communities? How can we meet people on the same level? How can we maybe help women to become empowered through tourism? Absolutely. So there are so many very good examples, but mass tourism definitely is not that way. But I think now the situation with everybody waking up is a good chance for all of us to really rethink tourism and to demand also as consumers different products. Mm-hmm. So do you have more clients now? Is it different? Is something changing already? Or are people still in a shock?
From this point of view of Forum Andersreisen,
We receive now much, much more press requests than before. So our director, Petra Thomas, she's guiding the Forum Andersreisen. She now, we can have like four Petras right now, because she has so many requests of being part of panels concerning sustainable tourism and so on. Concerning our operators, we don't see now an increased demand until now. Of course, we are growing, and we are happily growing. We are very happy about that. What we do realize is that people now ask themselves concerning the CO2 emissions. Mm-hmm. Yeah? This is something that has changed. Yeah, at least we have now a few clients who definitely ask for it. I wanted to add something, Rika, that you said before, which in my point of view is super important, which I forgot to mention you with the five aspects of a sustainable trip. You should check, if you can, that most of the money this operator gains with the trip should stay in the country where they travel. Yeah, in Germany, we call this Rückflussrate oder lokale Wertschöpfung. Yeah? I don't know the explanation in English. Maybe there.
Trickle-down effect.
Ah, super. Thank you so much. Trickle-down effect, yeah? Ah, super. And this is something super important, because if you go through the trips of our operator, Ventura Travel, or also other members of Forum Andersreisen, in our case, we have our own foundation. It's called the V-Social Foundation, and we only support communities in the countries where we travel. Yeah, and in all our trips, for example, there are 25 euros included, which go directly to this foundation. And we do good things in the countries where we travel. We have spent more than 1 million euro already. Yeah, so you should have this in mind. Other operators do also very good things. Check it. Yeah, if they give their money also to that, the local communities benefit from tourism. Yeah, that's very important in my aspect.
Yeah, and this is exactly the point, that we at one point we said, oh, don't travel because, you know, because of the CO2 emissions. But on the other hand, we said travel, because only this can help to that the world is still open, and we can help human rights through tourism. We can create peace through tourism. There are a lot of options where tourism is really a force for good. And we cannot just say, stop this, because, you know, we cannot, when the building industry, for instance, is responsible for 10% of the CO2 emission in Germany. Can we stop building houses? No. And I also think that we can't stop building bridges through tourism. So this is one aspect as well. How do you see that? I mean, Berlin. Berlin is our hometown. Berlin is great, and I love Berlin, and I also love to see tourists. I'm not fed up about tourists, because, as I said, I like this concept of people meeting, coming together, experiencing things. And Berlin is a very experiencing city in a way. You can experience a lot of things. One big point are city trips. City trips. Everybody likes to take weekend city trips. I love to take city trips, but what can we do? I mean, Berlin, how are you getting ready for this discussion?
Susanna said something very wise. We have to see that there are minimum three dimensions of sustainable or responsible travel. One is the economic impact. 250,000 people in Berlin are living from tourism. We have to be aware of that. Of course, the second one, the social dimension is very, very important. Even in a city which is growing, like Berlin is growing at all. Not only tourism numbers are growing, Berlin is growing at all. Yeah, we have more and more, 40,000 to 50,000 more inhabitants. Welcome, yeah, to Berlin. International inhabitants, welcome, really. But it puts you in a challenge. And the third dimension, of course, is the ecological impact or the ecological footprint we leave if we do tourism. As we have seen, all of us are traveling and love to travel. And if you look at China or India, alone China, 600 million people will travel in the future. We have only the beginning of traveling. And this is exactly the challenge, to find the balance between these three different dimensions. I don't have the solution. Really, if I would have, I would ask Angela to do her job, or Heiko Maas, I don't know who else is responsible for this. But I think the beginning of everything is the awareness. Thanks to Greta, we get this awareness. We shouldn't make traveling unsexy. I don't say this because we are working in the tourism industry. I say this, we have to find a different way to make responsible traveling sexy.
Yeah? Responsible travel sexy.
Yeah, not other way around. Responsible travel, making sexy. How can we start? And I don't agree with you, Rika. I think everybody, each of us, has to start with this. What we do, just for an example, we are doing a lot of MICE business, meeting incentive and grand congresses, you know, as ITB. What we have founded is a platform for sustainable meetings, for example. And every supplier has to, like you have your different criteria, have to fulfill different criteria. So we offer our clients to meet and to meet in a sustainable way. Only one example. Second example is the social dimension. We offer to our clients, you can meet and change. And meet and change means that you're not going, sorry, I hope no big hotelier is here with a big hall of congresses. We offer social responsibility meetings for big companies, but for example in the school. So they get in touch, they might get in touch with people in a social dimension they have never thought about before. One example is the German Rail, who are in a school. And at the end of the meeting, yeah, they met the people from the school, the teachers, but also the kids. And they said, oh my God, in this school there's a need of new furniture or a need of new windows. And they say, okay, we are not paying, we don't have to pay so much for meeting here, but if we pay you new furniture. Things like this, yeah, is just some examples. What we also do, we have a guideline for our staff not to travel in Germany by plane, to be responsible with this, yeah. And of course, if you look at it is like people love to travel, people love to do city trips. Let's be honest. I would laugh if people thought, as you said before they start booking, do I need this trip? Yeah. And I appreciate it highly if our guests will stay 2 weeks in Berlin as in as in Costa Rica. No, but I would really say maybe the first or the second or the third or maybe the fifth trip is not necessary. And I don't believe that this would have a negative impact in our tourism. I think it would open the mind to the people, and maybe we get more people who travel by train or by bus from Denmark or from Poland or from Czech or from Germany or Austria, because they get the awareness that there's a different possibility. I think that would be a different kind of compensation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's you got me wrong if you thought I would not like everybody to do something, you know, at your house, plastics, whatever, avoid. Of course, everybody is responsible for him or herself. But I think we also have to look at the big picture. And I really liked what you said, that there are so many initiatives already in Berlin, like also social initiatives, because it's part of the big thing, which really make a difference. But what about, I mean, especially Berlin still has the problem to have over-tourism, which is some people say it's not over-tourism, it's under-tourism for the regions which are outside of the big part of the city, you know. But I know that you have a great program to bring tourists into other neighborhoods. like Spandau or Köpenick or whatever, where tourists normally don't travel to, but also alternatives initiatives like going by bike or historical alternative guiding through the city. And these initiatives, I think, because we really have to rethink tourism, as I said before, there should be more funding for these alternative projects in the city. So is there, how do you see it, is there a movement already within Visit Berlin to make these things happen more?
I think there's more than a movement. That's really awareness. You can read it if you want in the tourism concept, 2018 plus. There's a big focus on spreading the tourists all over the city, but we can't force. To be honest, we can't say, okay, you have to go now to Spandau. What should I do in Spandau, of course? Oh, they have very, very nice cycling trails, huh? There's a cycling museum, huh? And they have the biggest Christmas market in Berlin. Okay, I could argue for this for 2 hours if you want. No, you don't want, I'm sure.
But if you stay 2 weeks, you have time to also go to Spandau.
But there are big initiatives to give inspiration, yeah? And we are not talking about rules. We are not talking about forcing the people. We are talking about awareness, and we are talking about inspiration. That might sound very soft, or soft skills, or soft pressure, or whatever you want to call it, but I think that's the way to do it. Again, we try to make... We love animals. We like to... I stay with this making sexy, because we try to make Friedrichshagen, not Friedrichshain, Friedrichshagen sexy, yeah? Uh-huh. And we try to make Spandau again sexy, and we try to make Dahlem sexy. And I think there's a lot to see. Take it, there are so many dimensions, like industry culture, like cycling lanes, mm-hmm. like architecture of modernism, whatever. There are so many subjects, and this is, for my opinion, this is our challenge, but it's also our hope, or hopefully the one of the solutions, mm-hmm. to say, okay, the people have been to Berlin 5, 6, 7, 10 times, that would be the next game to us, have been many times here, so we give inspiration and we try to, in an individual world, to give everybody his individual Berlin experience.
Talking about these solutions, I think we need also to work with the whole supply chain. And this is always critical in tourism in general, that you have a product, you're at a destination, but you have a hotel, as you said, one of the big hotels. Okay, everybody has to become sustainable, but it has to go down to all the other providers as well, if you really want to have a green city. Mm-hmm. So how can you push that? Is that part of that program you were talking about?
Yeah, it is. I would say this is a part education. We are not at school, but of course we have CSR, not classes, but round tables,
but
and things
important.
Like this.
Yeah.
And we are talking to all of our suppliers, the whole chain. We are talking to them and we are discussing, and I think the best example is a really sustainable meeting, because it is a very, very tense subject discussed with all parts of suppliers who are responsible for meetings. And if you are in the meeting business, you know how much of the food is normally thrown away, how many packages you have for a meeting or for a conference. These are huge amounts of waste, yeah, and ecological, I would say your ecological footprint for a meeting can be very big. And if you start with this, with a big picture, there's a good chance to change a little bit.
Maybe we should, yeah.
I think the supplier chain is very important in tourism, because the contact that you have in front of you is not the person, most of the cases, who is providing your product. So for us, for Ventura Travel, it was a very, very important topic, and it was actually my my project. We have developed CSR checklists for all our partners. Mm-hmm. So we have a CSR checklist for hotels, we have a CSR checklist for incomings, we have a CSR checklist for transport companies, and it was a huge work because I thought, well, this should exist, but there was nothing like that. It was a real big work of us. And now we have it. They are quite detailed, so we still have to work on them. The project is not finished. And our idea behind this is we see ourselves, that's why I'm also here, as ambassadors for sustainable tourism. We want to create awareness, and we want to create this awareness also in front of our suppliers. When we send them these checklists, we ask them to fill them out. But it's not a knockout criteria, at least at the first year, because we do this every year and we want to see their development. Maybe you have a partner, let's say two stupid examples, who's not recycling and the employees don't have a contract. Yeah, let's say it this way. And then the next year we see, okay, now the employees have a contract, but still the other part is missing. So we focus on training our partners, and I think all partners in the tourism industry should check their partners somehow. As I mentioned to you before, if you want to book a trip, go on the website of the operator, of the hotel, of the activity, see if you find a vision, a mission, or the values of that company, and see if it fits. Yeah, so it's again our awareness. And I'm sorry, I want to add something else, mm-hmm. because, stop. You were asking at the beginning, what is the future of travel? Yeah, what is the future of traveling? I have a very clear vision of that. I think it's in the hand of the government. Yeah, I don't want to blame especially our government, for example. But why it took so long and it took Greta to come up that our government has an official paper concerning the climate right now? Yeah, It's hilarious on one hand. On the other hand, why does the kerosene in English, our super English expert, kerosene, yeah, was not taxed in Germany? Why? We were all wondering, hey, the Deutsche Bahn is so expensive, I can't afford it. I fly, it's cheaper, of course, because Deutsche Bahn has to pay the taxes and the flights don't, the airlines. Yeah. So I think there's still a lot of work by the government.
And the associations, because the associations were supporting that, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And another thing where you also see that the government has to do their job right, if Christian mentioned China, yeah, they will build up more than 200 new airports within the next few years. Yeah, I'm only talking about a time frame of 5 years. I mean, in my point of view, government should say no. Yeah, you can construct, I don't know, 100 or whatever. So this was only my last comment, and maybe to give you some food for discussion, because I think there's much more we can do.
I think I still have a question for all of you, and everybody can say something. Yeah. Is it because this is exactly one of the critical points, you know, that said, okay, people who come up now from China, the growing middle class in China, the growing middle class in India, and these people have not yet had the chance to travel because they had not have enough money and it was too expensive. A friend of mine just yesterday, she said, well, I remember the good times when I flew to LA and it cost me 2,000 Deutsche Mark, and that's the way it should be. I said, no. It can't be the way that suddenly it's only for those wealthy people. But what do we do? People are still hungry to travel. People are hungry to meet other people. So we all agree that there is not a solution only for our industry. And we cannot only be the only solution. We need to collaborate internationally with all governments. But this is difficult because there are some governments who are not thinking of cooperating at all. And on the other hand, they're getting out of the Paris Agreement. So what do you think, each of you? What is the most important thing what we can do now? Which step is one of the most important steps in your business and in general?
So I think because I had another idea, but I think it's well connected with that, because it just crossed my mind. A couple of weeks ago, my colleague and me, we had a call with the CSR manager of one of the biggest tour operator in Europe. I'm not allowed to say who it was. So, and then we asked, so how is it going? How is it going, the CSR manager? What they always say, not as easy working for a big tour operator as a CSR manager. And I asked then, so did it change now since Greta? And do you also feel can you see the Greta effect in your business? And the manager said, yes. But to be honest, a lot of our clients ask for European tours and Germany tours and tour packages. And the sad answer or the sad reply was, we didn't have the offer. So a lot of demand, but we didn't have it in our portfolio. So and we were too slow to create those kind of offers. So that's why this would be my wish, and I think I can speak for whole atmosphere that what you said also. So there are so many sexy destinations, and they don't have to be so far away. It's always a question of marketing and communication, I think. And what we are perceiving, that as far as we are going, as much more luck it brings us, or as much more interesting is then the trip, I think it's not right.
Would it be a solution to do like a family trip once a year for at least 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 1 month, and all the rest of the year going by bicycle and so on, or alternative energies, use alternative energies? Or so you think, would that be maybe the question, the answer for us now who love to travel?
I don't know. I mean, this is a really personal question and answer. So I just can speak by myself. I already told you before we had this, when we met together, I have been forced to discover a new kind of making holiday, because I don't know, when I was younger, of course, I was also traveling a lot and discovering the world and taking the plane, especially with low-cost carriers. And then a couple of years ago, my husband, he had a problem with his Sprunggelenk, with the ankle, so he couldn't walk anymore. And with our three kids, he couldn't walk, he couldn't run. So the only thing he could do was cycling. But we are not those kind of cycling specialists and not so sportive. So we thought, is it the right thing? But then friends of us said, try it, and then you will see. So we were borrowing a lot of equipment together, and then we really started 3 weeks cycling, so a round trip from at the Polish-German border. Mm-hmm. And this was such an unexpected adventure, I'm telling you. You know, if I was writing a blog, it would be probably the same, I don't know, kind of adventures, like, I don't know, a backpacker going to Asia somewhere, because we met so many interesting people, some mad people, some funny people. Landscape was fantastic. Food was very special. And no network. So really silence. But this is something, you know, if someone was telling me that in advance, probably I wouldn't believe it. So sometimes you really need to do, you need to make this kind of experience until, you know, you think, okay, it's really good. And since then, we are only cycling, discovering Germany, discovering Europe. But probably, I don't know, maybe in a couple of years, we might also do a flight. But so far, no, it's. I mean, I'm working for a for a carbon offsetting company, so I won't do it right now. But it's.
What is your vision?
Oh, I would agree cycling, but I'm a heavy cyclist, so I think first of all, it makes me really thought, because there is no solution. There might be a vision. A vision for me is a mixture of technology, of course, but I'm not so, in terms of technology, that I would say, okay, let the technology do everything. I think it's a kind of our awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't ask people stop traveling, but maybe a little bit different and a little bit more sexy in terms of neighborhoods and maybe German destinations. But at the end, it begins for me with education. Yeah,
awareness.
That we get awareness of via education. If I take it to Berlin, I think this city is so special at all. And how can I tell the people, we have 30 years Fall of the Wall, we have this huge event last week, and how can I tell people, you should come, because we want to save the planet. I can understand, I would like to save the planet, but how can I tell the people, don't come to Berlin. Come by train, yeah. But should I say this to Indians? Come by Flixbus? Okay, maybe. Good idea, last a little bit longer.
Yeah.
No, I don't have this, to be honest, I don't have the solution, but I think, and that's where I'm really aware of, it has to start with ourselves, each of us. And I would go a little bit back away from flight shame, because it starts on your daily work, on your daily life, not using plastic, using any kinds of boxes you can use many times, things like this, recycling, yeah. Upcycling, whatever. I've been to a exhibition Sunday about slow fashion and fast fashion at the Europäische Museum für Europäische Kultur, European Culture. I can really recommend to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Flight shame is not the only problem we have. I don't want to minimize it. Don't understand me wrong, but everybody has to think every morning, and not with I shouldn't. That's not true. I can do it different with a positive feeling.
But also demand your politicians, demand your boss, demand everybody in your surroundings.
All of us, every day, every
year.
Yeah, solution. I also don't have a solution, but I have a few ideas which can be steps for the solution. If you go on the streets and ask people, would you like to buy a sustainable trip? A lot of people would say yes, and then they would say, yeah, but it's too expensive. Yeah, and it's not. So this is what also Christian said. Sustainable traveling in a sustainable way must not be more expensive than traveling like the masses do. Yeah, sometimes also very opposite. In our case, for example, you can also sleep with families, and that's even better. That's our Airbnb, because you get to know these people in the villages on the lake of Titicaca, yeah, and you have dinner with them together. You cook with them. So I think, like also Christian already mentioned, that it's absolute education. And I'm still, my opinion is still that the government must squeeze in. We will not make it without the government.
Mm-hmm.
We need campaigns. We need campaigns saying like travel sustainable and explain it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we would have done a questionnaire to all of you, what is traveling sustainable? Okay, now we are all in this field and you're here. But if you go on the streets, almost no one knows. Yeah. So a lot of people, they don't know that there are different ways of traveling. So we have to create this awareness. This is what I think. And we should definitely raise taxes. But if we do, like the government is doing it right now, we have to use it for a specific purpose and not leave it open like the government does right now. So I think our governments should definitely do a little bit more of their homework.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I can also add that I don't think we can do anything in isolation.
No.
We need international cooperation. We have to fight for that, even so some governments were not interested. And we also have what we can do in our business. We have to start in each of our businesses to start measuring our CO2 footprint, to see what are we doing, where we work, in our workplace, and then do an accurate assessment, you know, and this is also what is normally missing. this what we call greenwashing. You know, you need assessment, and it has to be done annually, not once, and that was it. I've done my duty. It's really a process which we have to start and which has to be continued if we really want to do something for the climate and to save the life of our grandchildren. And I think, yeah, also transport is key, because we have to get off this high dependency of on fossil fuels. So we really need to push our governments to find solutions for that. And I think it's a top priority to implement this this climate resilience into all the elements, but all elements of our life, as you said. It's so important, what the clothing industry. My God, human rights-wise, a big problem. And we still buy every time cheap shoes, cheap blouses. This is a very important point, because it's so holistic. The problem is not only the tourism industry, but we are part of it. And I believe that tourism can be a front runner, because tourism is a fun industry. So maybe we can play an important role as tourism industry players. So, yeah, and one thing more is also the what you said, the circular economy, to reuse and to green up everything, to green to grow. I mean, these are options really for a better environment to live in and also to travel in, of course. So, and technology, as you said, I also believe is because I think it's managed technology development will also be a key element in the transformation of our societies and also of tourism. So I want to ask you now, which are your questions? You can please ask us, our panelists. Yes?
Do you see any labels developing in the travel tourism industry so that it's easier for consumers to see as well what is sustainable and what's like marketing? You have many consumer of food areas, for example.
Can you repeat the question with the microphone?
Yes, he was asking for certificates or labels concerning sustainable tourism. Yes, they are, but I have to admit it's a label jungle as in every other branch as well. Yeah. I can only speak of my experience. There is a company in Germany called Tourzert. Please have a look at their website. They're really, really good. They're making a lot of good things. And what they do is they not only certify all the members of Forum Andersreisen as sustainable tour operators, they also certificate destinations as sustainable destinations. And it's really, believe me, because I'm leading this project also in our company, they're very, very detailed. Every 2 years, we have to we get recertified, yeah, if we are lucky, yeah, because they really check the whole company. They not only check the trips, they check everything in our company. They talk to almost every employee, asking, yeah, do you get feedbacks? Are you motivated? Can you climb up the career in your company? Yeah, just as an example. Yeah, so maybe for all of you who have an interest in certificates, maybe you can check the Tourzert website. They're very good. But there are also others like Travel Life and so on. But as I told you, it's really also a jungle, and more certificates are raising up in the market.
From Ventura Travel.
I'm in the industry, so I might use the wrong words. But I'm just interested in the supply chain that we were talking about. So I think that it's really impressive and good that there are so many companies and different types of institutions that are all thinking about CSR issues. And you have Visit Berlin that's thinking about how can we be sustainable on this level. You've got other people with other criteria. What I see is that in every level of the supply chain that I've got to know so far in the tourism industry, you have different operators or different actors that have their own way of interpreting what's important to them, right? So you might have Ventura that says, for us it's important that people get paid a minimum wage or whatever it is. And then you have the person that's on the ground, DMC that's on the ground that you're working with, and they're saying, oh, but we already have our own projects, And for us, it's more important that we use solar energy instead of electricity. And we also support a local initiative that supports women. So it's kind of on the different levels, different people have different criteria, and you're kind of all offsetting different things, and it seems to make sense to me as a person who's new to the industry for there to be some kind of standard where you can say, okay, everyone's responsible for their own CO2 emissions, because otherwise we're offsetting it, but equally the DMT that's working for us is offsetting it, and then the hotels they're staying at are offsetting it as well, and it seems honorable but very chaotic. Do you know if there's any standard?
Yes. Concerning the offsetting, my colleague from Atmosphere can tell you a few more words, but I think the main question is also belongs to the certification, so you should definitely also work with partners that are certified, but maybe you can explain the standards for offsetting.
Yeah, but no, I think what you mean is already the approach for CSR. I mean, this is, what every company can do how they want to do. Of course, at a certain level, companies have to report not only their emissions, also it is called non-financial reporting, so to all their stakeholders that they look, that they have to show their environmental impact, their social impact.
But they are not obliged to. And this is the problem, that they are asked to do it, but not obliged yet. So I think this is still, we need regulations and empower what's happening if somebody is not doing it.
Yeah, but it's now a European guideline since 2017, and of course it's
people
not so.
People who don't, companies who don't do it, are not.
They're not traced yet. Yeah, that's right. But for so my recommendation in terms of emissions is, first of all, you have to find out your status quo. So first of all, you have to look at, okay, where do all my emissions come from? And looking at the supply chain, what kind of influence can I have? So, and then, start not with the peanuts, of course, so concentrate on the big things. This is my recommendation, because what I see a lot is that not also for private person and also for companies that, they have 100 options or maybe 1,000 options to do. And, and they're ticking, some small peanuts. And of course, you cannot do 1,000 things. So that's why you should really ask yourself, okay, what's really important? Where are the big things? And there I should, and exactly there I should start.
For orientation, there are guidelines from the European Union, but there are also guidelines from the German government. And I don't know if you speak German.
Yes.
Yeah. You can ask at Deutsche Tourismusverband, and they have a very good booklet, which is Nachhaltiges Reisen. And they show you very good, as well as for the gentleman over there, the different certificates, but also the different standards are already made. And it's a good guideline to get a little bit more orientation.
There was one more question from the lady over there.
Yeah, it's also about the labeling topic, because we just discussed that before. It's kind of like what I was thinking about is, like, why don't we have something that, because we have those good labels, but that's for the people who are already aware of the topic and are actually looking for it. But the majority of people, that's something what we sometimes forget in rooms like this, is not aware of it. So you have to kind of stuff it into their face so they actively have to decide, okay, I'm going for that option. Like, if you buy a fridge, it's going to tell you the energy certificate. Or if you buy Axe, know you're not buying the good ones. So now recently with me, and you can see that, like, it's much harder for people to do the bad decision if they know it. So I don't know if there could be, like, any kind of a label that's like, you have to get it, so that also it's going to be shown for the ones that kind of suck. So that the consumer knows and they have to actively decide against doing the right thing. So I don't know if any kind of that movement could be done, or do you think that this would help the tourism industry as well?
This would be good, yeah.
Yeah, I think we agree. But we should also address that, We have all these associations where we can at least address it, like our Deutsche Reiseverband, you know, they...
But I think we have
to bring these things into those associations because they do what they want.
Guidelines, Rika, we have enough guidelines, and I think we have a lot of regulation. And I think we should, in German you say, an die eigene Nase packen. I don't know what is in English, but...
Grab your own nose.
False friends, I would say. No, I think to get orientation, we have a lot of things who gives us orientation. We should start by ourselves.
No, but we should ask for it, not orientate. We have to ask.
There's a kind of
urge,
responsibility of every person. Yeah? If you want to do something, you might get help, but you also have to do the first step.
Mm-hmm. There's another question.
I worked on the DMC side in Tanzania for 9 years, working in Kilimanjaro tourism. And the problem you have there is that if you work with the travel industry, you get the question, oh, my client got the climb offered, the Kilimanjaro climb offered for like $1,000 less. I mean, $1,000 less. Mm. And we offer it for like, let's say, $2,200 or whatever. And of course, I had a number of arguments that I could give the client, my travel industry client, how we can give the consumer an insight and how the higher price is justified through carbon offsetting, through better payment of local workers, and so on and so on, the trickle-down effect that we spoke about. What I think is the key problem is that the tour operator out there in the market is always facing the price question. And as long as the industry is not following a certain set of standards, a certain set of rules, so that the consumer, when he has a choice between a certain portfolio of tour operators he can do his trip to Costa Rica with, then the tour operator out there in the market is left alone if the industry doesn't adapt all the same standards, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. then the tour operator doesn't follow the standards and will be cheaper in the end because the locals are not paid well enough and so on and so on, then I think this is a key problem. So the industry bodies themselves, I think, have to make it a rule that companies follow a certain minimum standards,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise the one who is more, who is cheaper, will all, in some areas of the travel market, will win.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I think that's again a political demand, yeah. which we have to...
I mean, this is actually really true. I have never seen so many labels as in the tourism industry. I think there are over 400 or something. So, and I think what you mean is something like if you're going now to a supermarket and even in Aldi or, you know, a discounter somewhere, you can see, okay, this is a eco or biological product. Mm. And you have different labels there also, but there's a standard from the European Union, something like this. And mm-hmm. this is something you're looking for, right?
They have to show it, even if they kind of, like, take that meat label, it really ranks it from 1 to 4, and it makes it much harder to take the bad one for the consumer. And, like, that would also work for the tourists if they know, like, they just see the price label, but if the next trip they see, like, a big red flag, which says, like, not paying well or something, like, if there's one label that everyone has to display,
yeah.
not only the ones that were good, who obviously show how we got that label, but rather if everyone has to show one universal label, and the consumer then can decide. And you can see they are buying better meat, they're buying better eggs, because, and they're willing to pay more because it's in their face.
No, I think it's a good idea.
Will we have plastic-free ITV?
We are working on it. We're also educating our exhibitors, you know. we also try to really advocate reusable, whatever is possible, to avoid plastics. We, in our offices, you know, we don't have plastic bags in our baskets anymore, and so on and so on. But it's part of the tourism world, you know, and I'm the advocate for those people who really want to change something. But as you know, the tourism world is so diverse, and the capitalistic thinking is still stronger than anything else, because everybody is still thinking that we have to grow, we have to make as much money as possible. And I think now it's the first time that people are starting to rethink this paradigm as well, because there is no unlimited growth in a limited world. And this is what really comes into everybody's heart now, and then we can also have a plastic-free ITB with the help of everybody.
Yeah, but can't you come up with your own rules? Like saying if you want to use this booth or whatever, you're not allowed to use plastic, whatever? I mean, if you say, yeah, please do it, nobody will do it.
Yeah, but that's the same thing with regulations.
As a host, can't you come up with this rule and then giving an example to all these people coming from all over the world, hey, we can have plastic-free meetings. This is a good idea.
Instead of asking,
I mean, it's your area, it's your fair, why don't you do it?
As I said, there is still this profit thinking in this world, and we have 160,000 square meters, 10,000 exhibitors, and we send out to all of the exhibitors a guide how to be more sustainable and what to avoid, and that they should use our waste management system and so on and so on. But at the end, it is very difficult to walk around and find every exhibitor. Why are you giving giveaways which are from plastic? I do that, you know, but it's a Sisyphus work. Mm-hmm. And we can only educate, raise awareness, and that is really what we are constantly doing everywhere and again and again. But I would really wish to get support also from people from the industry, as you, demanding it or telling other exhibitors, because we can't do it alone. And we, as a fair, which is still selling space, I mean, we're selling that space, so we can't just say, okay, if you're not doing this, you can't come, because you know what, if you have been to BTW last week, this is the way the tourism industry is still thinking. These are the players of tourism, and they aren't ready yet. But they have to be ready, I think, because it's so urgent, you know. And they invited Professor Schallenhuber to their event for the first time, and everybody was like paralyzed because there are no solutions. And I think we also didn't find solutions today, but we all agree that we have to work together to find these solutions, and everybody has to start at his own home or her own home. But we also have to discuss this in our workplace, in the fields and the people we reach, with governments, with associations, with NGOs. We really have to fight to save our planet. So, and now I'm happy to answer more questions.
I've got one.
Out of stage.
Hi. Oh. Hi. Thank you, panelists. Hi. Hi, everyone. I know I was the offender of the person that flew the most this year. so I'm sorry about that. But to make up for that, in this little camera here, we're able to bring in about 20 to 30 people on our Facebook channel who didn't have to fly here to participate in tonight's event. And I just wanted to share one comment. We had a couple of comments on the Facebook page. This is from Gillian Morris, and we'll take it as a comment unless you want to add to it. But Gillian is the founder of a company called Hitlist, which actually searches for the best airfare deals, and she has millions of users. So her entire business is obviously built around flying. So she shared that global aviation accounts for 2.5% of carbon emissions and mining accounts for 30%. But then she said that she doesn't think you're going to be able to convince people to give up going to travel, but as demand increases, so too does demand for sustainable fuel alternatives. She says that she's really excited about biofuels and other alternative technologies that can decrease the emissions that aviation produces. So anyway, I just wanted to add that comment from our Facebook Live, but if you guys want to add to that, then feel free.
So the 2.5 percentage, the portion of global emissions, this is just, again, this is just looking at the carbon emissions, so the CO2. It's not including the climate impact or the greenhouse gas effect aviation has. So this would be then three times higher. So we are already talking about 7.5. and the forecast for 2030 and 2050 is that aviation plays then the same role, like the example what she said is mining, because it's increasing since air traffic is increasing in general, right? So that's why sometimes, you know, people saying,
but
like,
is that aviation
on.
In general, or is that only the tourism related aviation?
It's aviation in general, but let's say civil aviation counts for 80% and transport, how do you say it, freight, it's only 20% at the moment. So, but I know that some people are saying like, oh, come on, why we are talking about flight emission, it only counts for 2.5, but it's high enough. And the thing is that all other industry already looking at the path towards, and the airline industry is just looking at the path upwards, not towards. And biofuel alternative, yes. But with biofuel, or let's say with all alternative fuels, you always have to look at, you know, if the production is really sustainable and, let's say, and really free of CO2 emissions. So it doesn't make sense to create those kind of biofuels or maybe even synthetic fuels if the production is not free of carbon emissions. So that's why we are looking at the moment, especially to a power to liquid which is an e-fuel. That means you're sourcing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and you're taking water, and you need many loads of renewable energy to splitting water into.
I think the Chinese are quite good at it, aren't they?
Not yet. So it's still demonstrate. You know, we don't have a huge plant yet, so there are only little demonstrating plants. But we are hoping that the airline industry is investing a lot of money just to progress this kind of alternative, let's say, technology and also alternative fuel.
How are you feeling now? Are you feeling good, bad? How is that?
just one thing. We talked about the Greta effect. On 29th is the next global, I think you know, many of you know this already, on 29th is the next global demonstration for pushing the governments to more sustainable solutions. 29th worldwide.
So here we go. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Travel Hero podcast by ITB. If you like what you heard, make sure to check in soon again and subscribe to our channel to know when it's time to reveal another Travel Hero story.